Assalamu alaikum.
Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Mean Alive. This is the broadcast of Imam Alpha Muhammad, and I am the host for the day, Mubashir Akhtar, sitting in for Imam Alpha Muhammad. He's on business out of town, so we hope that we can do justice by filling in this slot. I will first like to say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I open it by witness and testify to the whole world that there is nothing worthy of worship but God, whose proper name in our holy book is Allah. And when we say Allah, we have been taught by Imam Wahdi Muhammad that if you are worshiping a God that did not create the sun, the moon, the stars, then everything in between, then you are worshiping a false God. So we bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship but the one true God, whose proper name in our holy book is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly praised and glorified is He. Almighty God Allah has no mother, no father, no sister, no brother, no aunts, no uncle. He is God and God alone. There is no one sitting up in heaven on the right-hand throne of God, consulting with God, giving Him advice, and being a partner or shareholder in His kingdom. As Muslims, we bear witness that God is one. He is God alone. He has no partner and no associate. And that God is the one that created Adam. That God is the one that created Noah. That God is the one that created Abraham. That God is the one that created Moses. That God is the one that created Christ Jesus. That God is the one that created the last of the prophets, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who was born 1,434 years ago in Saudi Arabia, Mecca. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that they worship. And we bear witness that Muhammad, he's the last of the prophets. He is the one that fulfilled and completed the prophetic mission that God put all of those great men on that we call prophets, messengers, and warners. So we bear witness that Muhammad, he's a message to the whole world. That's what God says to us in our holy book. And he's the prophet to the whole world, and he's the messenger of God. And I'd like to greet you with the greetings of all of those great prophets. Of peace be unto you, of assalamu alaikum. We want to bring something to your attention of a talk that Imam W.D. Muhammad gave a few years ago before his passing in Newark, New Jersey. It was called the CPC Conference. And there's thoughts like this. Imam W.D. Muhammad said, we witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one alone, and we witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, Imam said. What do you want, a khutbah or some business information? He said, I'm flying over water and land. God is my co-pilot, and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are Muslim, and when we gather here for CPC Comtrust or the Mosque Carols, we gather as Muslims. But if we go back to the earliest days of our acquaintance with that word Muslim, we have always been interested in our people. And it hurts me to know that some of us have forgotten our people and our condition. Now, according to experts, the condition of the African-American people on the whole is worse than it ever been since the Emancipation Proclamation. We are wasting our lives. We're separated from each other. Family members are separated from each other. Everybody's going out with their own small interests and their own small world. And the people as a whole are just as spiritually depressed now, in fact, more depressed now than we were when we were freed from slavery, the majority of us. The Imam said most of the Islamic world do not know Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon the Prophet. The Imam said Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, is our leader. But most of us do not know him. Most of the Islamic world do not know Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They just know a name, and they know that he is a prophet. That is all. They know very little about him as a person. They don't even study the Quran to know him. They just take for granted they know him. He's the prophet. He's the messenger of God. He's our prophet, peace be upon him. And they think that is enough. Maybe that is enough for a person who just wants to live like a cow, a rabbit, or a bird who comes in the world, survives as long as it can, hunt food, have sex, play, and die. If that is all they want, then that knowledge of Muhammad, peace be upon him, is enough. But the honorable Elijah Muhammad made us aware of concerns outside of our own selves, outside of our own home, outside of our own He told us to take in the concerns of our people's suffering and to work for the betterment of our people, to work to bring our people back to God. In fact, more importantly, because many of them was already believing in God, more importantly, to bring us back to be responsible for our own life and future on this planet Earth. The email said, family has rights over the believer. The prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves and is wise of their mother. Blood relations among each other have closer personal ties in the decree of Allah than the brotherhood of believers and mutahids. Nevertheless, do ye what is just to your closest friend, such as the writing in the decree of Allah. The man said, do you think El Islam is not that? El Islam wants us to be responsible for our lives, beginning with our family. God says, close relative, family has priority in the book of God. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. The family has first priority in the book of God. And what does God say in the Bible? Say, charity starts at home and spreads abroad. Home is first. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was not called to come from some interest that he had to God's way or to God's path. He was already seeking God. He was seeking help from a bigger power than himself. He did not even know God by name. He was not from such people like Christians and Jews. He was not from a religious group in the proper sense of the word. He was from people who worship many idols that represented creatures and forces of nature, the natural world. And he was carrying on his heart the burden, the condition of the world at that time, beginning with his own people. He was carrying the burden of the Arabs in his heart. He did not feel that he could go on the way he was living, being above the base nature, that subhuman standing, and carrying the burden on his heart, thinking, how can my own people be changed? How can the earth be changed from worshiping these idols, living like a community of subhuman creatures? That was a burden on his heart. He went away from his own society, away from the people, up into a mountain now called Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of the light, or the mountain of enlightenment, because it was upon that mountain that he received an answer, a response from God. He was pleading, crying out to the vast, unlimited space for help from whatever could help him. That was superior to the existence that he understood. And he received a response. And I won't go over the details of that because that is not the point. My point is that he was not called from something that he was doing to occupy his time and his interest. He was looking for God to help him with the burden of the world, but at the time he was just seeing the burden of his countrymen, the burden of the Arab world on the peninsula called Saudi Arabia now. Muhammad, the unlettered man, means uneducated in scripture, an unlettered prophet. It is he who has sent amongst the unlettered an apostle from among themselves to rehearse to them his signs, to sanctify them and to instruct them in scripture and wisdom, although they had been before in manifest error. This is the leader that God has blessed, a people that was put into slavery by another people that was brought from Africa and disconnected from their way of life, their tradition, their culture, their language, and especially their God. This is the man that God blessed more than any other leader that was born from those people to be an example, not only for us, but for the whole world, that what God did one time before, that Almighty God Allah has done it again. He has done it in the greatest nation on the face of the planet Earth, the United States of America, a great Christian nation. What have he done? He raised up a leader from a people who was shut out from every quarter of this American society, a people that have been put down, spit on, walked on, stumped on, misused, abused, a people that have been made to believe they was a worthless people by being conditioned to what they call the peculiar institution of slavery, a slavery that had never existed among any other people in the manner that it exists among the descendants of slaves and their children. So, dear beloved people, we have been blessed by Almighty God with a man like Muhammad the Prophet and the leadership of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Imam W.D. Muhammad has been blessed by God to be in touch with his original nature more than any human being that was born in the United States of America. We do believe that because it has been the leadership that God has blessed the United States to get through the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad that have correctly given the right perception of what the religion that Jesus Christ preached, that the Christian called Christianity. The Imam has made it plain and understandable. It has made the religion of Christianity. He has purified this religion by God's permission to show the Christian the right perception and the right understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And he was a prophet of God. He was a messenger of God. He was a servant of God. He was not the son of God. He have never had been the son of God, and he never will be the son of God. Muhammad is not God, never have been the son of God, and never will be son of God. Moses is not God, never have been God, never will be God, and never have been the son of God. So it is with all the prophets. But it has been the leadership of Imam Muhammad Muhammad more than anyone in America. In this modern-day time, I say in the world, that have been blessed to bring the whole world to see the right perceptions of God that was established by our father Abraham, peace be upon the prophet Abraham, when he was teaching and when he was preaching against what we call shirk, false wishing. So we are blessed, brothers and sisters. We are blessed because we have a leader among us today, the son of Elijah and Clara Muhammad, that taught for 33 years. 33 years, the Imam gave his heart and soul unrelentless, nonstop, for the concern of his people. Imam W.D. Muhammad, more than any leader, has been blessed by God. He has been blessed by God to unravel the mysteries of Scripture in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in our holy book, Quran. Don't you know, dear beloved people, that if you, Imam, have taught us that if you have the wrong perception of God, you have the wrong perception of anything else in your life. He said, so we should be thankful, and we should want to know much about this man, Imam Wafa D. Muhammad, the son of Elijah, and Sister Clara Muhammad. So this is what this show is all about, religion being aligned. Imam Alpha Muhammad, he has taken up the task, the job of bringing Imam W.D. Muhammad picture back to the world, along with other hardworking men and women that say they are followers and students, sincere followers, sincere students of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. We want to keep the legacy of Imam Walter D. Muhammad alive. You know, Imam W.D. Muhammad said he was asked to teach in Africa. Listen to what the Imam said. He said, how did you get here? Well, he said, well, we are today in this place with me. He was talking about where he was speaking from in Newark, because he came to speak to us as his followers and as a people that was the children of slaves. He said, how did I get here? It was the misery of our people that drove us to listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to join him, to see how we can help our people and turn this thing around. Isn't that right? He said, I was invited to go to Africa to preach many years ago now. A very rich man, well known by the top leaders in the government of Saudi Arabia and other governments in the surrounding area of Saudi Arabia, he said, you will be given a house. You and your children will be given everything you need, a car, whatever you need. He said, the people of Africa are more ready for you than your people in America. Imam said, something wouldn't let me say yes. He said, and knowing myself, I'm a man. When I see a good opportunity, I say, okay, I will tell you what I will do. I can give some of my time to Africa and some of my time to the U.S. Imam said, if I was left on my own, I would have bargained with him. But the power of God through my nature was too strong. I couldn't even listen to him. I had no interest at all in his invitation. He was greatly disappointed because I showed no interest. I had no interest. I still do not have any interest. It is not my rational decision. I was compelled by my own nation spirit not to listen to that and stay where I am. I'm not saying this to tell you he chose you over the Africans. No, I didn't. I chose to work out my peace for my own soul here in America, where the trouble started, rather than go somewhere else where my soul would still be bothering me, because peace is not at home like it should be. I don't have any romantic situation with you. It is a rational situation. It is a sacred obligation. Although I do love you, but that is not the ruling power in my life, not a sentimental love. It is a higher love than that. This is the leader, Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, Imam Muhammad never accepted Mr. Farad as God. Poor members sacrifice to build the nation of Islam. Please listen to this. The Imam said, my point I'm driving at, and I'm sure you see it. When I disagree with the teacher, I never in my spirit accepted that Mr. W.D. Farad was God Almighty. Thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something protected me from ever accepting that. I never was comfortable with that, to pray to him and see his image before me as far back as I remember. And I know how old I was because I know when we left the location in Chicago, we lived at 6116 South Michigan in a frame house, the first house that my mother and father ever owned. It was bought for them by the poor members or followers of the honorable Elijah Muhammad while my father was still in prison. I heard the preachers preaching as a little boy. I can remember that. The important things that make an impression on you, you remember. Imam said, I remember them saying, we don't want our leader to come home and be in a situation like he was poor, staying in an apartment. We have to buy him a house. That was my father. You know it was touching me and those poor people. I doubt if they number 100 in Chicago. But I'm sure they got the message to reach Detroit, Milwaukee, and a few other places. There was only about 3 or 4 temples at that time, maybe a total of 5, possibly 6, but no more than that. And the numbers over 4 became numbers while my father was in prison. A brother who was converted in prison came out and went back to his home in Ohio, and he started a temple there. There was others, but they did not have any more than about 4 or 5, at the most 6 temples. In the Chicago following, like I said, were less than 100. Most weekly meetings were maybe 40 members. Most of the members were locked up in jail because they wouldn't go to the war. They wouldn't even carry a draft card. For those too old for the service were required to get a draft card back then for World War II. If they didn't, they were selected service violators, and they were sent to jail just like young men who would have been used. They would not have been used if they would have gotten a draft card. They would have no more to do. They would have no more to do unless trouble came to America, to our own land. I'm sure then that everybody would be fighting to save the country or save their own life. They knew they would not have to go to war, but they were upholding a position that the honorable Elijah Muhammad took, and they went to jail. Listen to this here. This is why we have to understand what God has done for us. We have to be grateful, brothers and sisters. We have people that sacrificed their lives way before we were born, way before some of us came, and many of us have never even experienced the nation of Islam. You came in, some of you came in from other communities. You brought your ideals and ways with you when you came and became a member of the community that was started under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, that his son became the leader, Imam Wahdi Muhammad. These honorable, noble men and women, most of them were good Christians, but they heard a word that affected the way they think and it hit their heart, and they heard someone calling them to come and join on to their own kind. And it was the honor of Elijah Muhammad, a little black man from Sandyville, Georgia, that stood up in the 1930s and took upon himself to look after the welfare, and not just his members, the following of that he called a Muslim in the nation of Islam. He was concerned about his whole race of people. He said that Farah Muhammad said he came with 17 million keys, and it was about 17 million so-called Negroes at that time. And he said he wanted to get each and every one of us. His email said, do you think I can't forget all of that? And now that I have a home, two nice vehicles, more clothes than I need, people give me clothes, I have more clothes than I need. So I give clothes away. I give people new, good clothes sometimes. Now that I'm in a situation like this, do you think I can't forget all of this for some ritual, saying subhanAllah, just for language, show for rituals that is going nowhere except for your sins? You think I can give up all of that impression that was made on me and the depth that I feel in my heart and soul to people who are well-meaning and sacrifice for others in hope that the leader who they respect, love, and follow would be successful in bringing that desired change they prayed and hoped for in the life of the poor people? This is why I appreciate a man like Imam Al-Fatih Muhammad and other Imams that think like him. Because Imam Al-Fatih Muhammad invited me to join on with him and holding on to what Imam is talking about that is very, 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 very sacred and precious to those of us that came through the Nation of Islam that has been around for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Some of them, we still have some members that started back at the time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad became the leader. It's a shame, brothers and sisters, that now we have a certain group of Imams that think that we need to forget this history of ours. They want to keep us connected to the history of another people more than our own history. We know the history of how Al-Islam started in Mecca and Arabia through the leadership of our holy prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him. But Almighty God, when they asked the question, show us how you raised the dead, He chose to do that in the new world, a world that was built by people that came from many parts of the old world, Europe, Asia, Russia, China, Japan. A lot of those people came into America seeking a new home. We was the only people that came to America not on our own. Not on our own. We came here as slaves. We were captured and brought here and put into slavery by another people. So that history of ours, we should be aware that God has truly, truly blessed us with a sincere and honorable leader in the leadership of Imam Muhammad. How come we don't want to let our children and let the whole world know what God has done for us here in the United States of America? We have a history here where the religion of Al-Islam started among a people that were called Negroes, niggers, blacks, monkeys, and eight colored people. Huh? God found one from among us, and God blessed him to get this religion from a foreigner named Farah Muhammad. Farah Muhammad was only with the Undeniable Muhammad for 3 years, and he left. The Imam said when he left, the people did not want him to go, but he said, I'm leaving you in the hands of one of the trustworthy, my top lieutenant, my top minister. And that was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, Imam said, that Farah Muhammad didn't tell the followers that he accumulated. Over 3 years, I think he got about 25,000 people to join the Nation of Islam, him and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Imam said when he left, he told the people, he didn't put the emphasis on following the Honorable Elijah. He said, listen to Elijah. He said, listen to Elijah. He told the people to listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we have a history of how Al-Islam got started here in America. Now, we know there was other foreigners that had the Quran. They had the Quran much longer than we do here. And they came here, but they were not the ones that had the courage to stand up and say that Allah was God openly and that Muhammad was the messenger of God. And he was a prophet to the whole world. They didn't do that. It was the downtrodden black man and woman that came out of the Christian church that believed that Jesus Christ was their Lord and personal Savior. But they heard something different. They heard that we was original. Ourselves was Muslim. We was not Christian. Christianity was imposed upon us. Christianity was made to, put on us by the European Caucasian white man. And God blessed us to come back to the religion that he said all human beings belong to this religion. It's the standard religion for all human beings, no matter what color you are. This is the standard religion. God said he have perfected, and he have chosen, and he have preferred for the whole of humanity this way of life, the life called El-Islam. That religion means peace. That religion means one, a man and woman, a boy and girl, conforming their whole life to the pleasure of God and to the worship of the one true God, whose proper name is Allah. So he took a people. He took a people. God intervened. And how can we not want to let the world know how Islam got started, El-Islam proper, got started in America? When we say how El-Islam got started in America, Imam said we can use reference of how it got started in Arabia. But El-Islam got started in America. El-Islam got a foothold in America from African-American descendants of slaves. Right here in the United States of America, in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., Ohio. It went all throughout the state, spreading, Islam spreading, from the people that call themselves the Nation of Islam, the FOI and the MGT. How can we forget that? Now, some of you didn't experience that, and you have been convinced that we don't need to focus no more on what God has done for us. We need to continue to praise and give glory to people you ain't never seen a day in your life. If they brought Abu Bakr, Omar, Usman, Ali, and put them in front of you, you wouldn't know who was who. But they brought the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If they brought Dr. King, if they brought Malcolm, if they brought Imam W.D. Muhammad, if they brought Raymond Sharif, Clyde Rockman, Jeremiah Shabazz, James Shabazz, Captain Shaw, Captain Rashid Ali, if they brought them people and put them in the midst of the African American, how many of us could go and readily identify who they are? Many of us, because we were part of that, which they belong to. So why should we want our children to know the glory of these people? How they suffered in their lives, and how they gave their money. They gave their whole heart so that the Muslims and America that belong to the African-American descendants of slaves, we will have a foundation to stand upon and never be without the guidance of God anymore in our life, because God gave us a true leader that he taught the Quran. And Imam Walter D. Muhammad shared that knowledge with all of us. He was not selfish. God tells us in our holy book, go as though in a race towards all that is good, and fight against that, all that is bad. God put us in a race. He said, and God also said, he created us in tribes and families. Listen to me, please. Tribes and families to get to know one another, not to hate and despise one another. Imam said the best way to say that is not that. To get to know one another and to recognize one another. No one wanted to recognize us as a people before in the history of our being in America. Now, when Ellis' mom came and the Honorable Muhammad came with a different teacher, we know that was the Civil Rights Movement, the NAACP. That was another powerful movement to try to get us to get up out of the mud and that we were put down in America. It was not as powerful as what was given to us in the Nation of Islam, because the Nation of Islam said, this belonged to you. It said, this is what you were. This is your inheritance. You was Muslim. Most of you was Muslims that was brought here to America and made to become Christian. And Islam is in your genetic memory bank. This is what Eric Seligman brought forward, and it is. Not only is it in the memory bank of African Americans, it is in the memory bank of all human beings, no matter what color you are, because every son and daughter of Adam, according to God saying, tell them, Muhammad, that all the children of Adam is born Muslim. You are born Muslim, whether if you're a black man, a brown man, a red man, a yellow man, a white man, you born Muslim. Your very nature is that. Deen El Fitr. God is not a white man, a black man, a brown man, a red man, a yellow man. God is the one that created the black man, the brown man, the red man, and the yellow man. Huh? Listen, dear beloved people, we have a responsibility. And I thank God for blessing me to be able to work with a man called Alpha Muhammad, a friend of mine. I've been knowing Imam Alpha Muhammad for a while, but I didn't know he had all of this in it. I knew that every time I met him, he was always talking about what we should do to help Imam W.D. Muhammad. I can't remember the time that I didn't talk to Imam. I just called him Alpha, then Alpha Muhammad, because he wasn't calling himself Imam. But he always, every time we would meet at the convention, every time we meet at talks, whether it be in Philadelphia, New York, or Connecticut, he was always, when we gathered in the hallways and outside in the parking lot, he always would talk about what we can do to help the Imam get our people to see and understand what great blessing that God has given us through the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad and Brother Imam Alfred. If you somewhere listen, man, I thank you for that, and I love you for that. And I love every man and woman that has stood up with the honor of Elijah Muhammad and became a follower of his son to try to get this message to our people. Our people need this message. Not only our people, the whole world need it, but most of all, our people need it. Don't you know, dear beloved people, it's a shame that we have such so-called educated people that have been overseas. The Imam sent a group of brothers over the sea in his early beginning of leadership to learn how to speak Arabic so they can read the Quran in Arabic. Most of them, I ain't going to name none today. I'm not going to name none today. You know, I'm not going to say I ain't going to never name them, but I'm not going to name none today. But a group of them, Imam paid because of him. Those countries, those places overseas that he sent these people, they accepted them based off the leadership of the Imam and their friendship that they had made with Imam W. Muhammad. Don't you know that the most of them that went over there and learned how to speak just a little bit of Arabic, they came back and went against Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yes, they did. They thought they knew more than Imam W.D. Muhammad because some Arabs or some Syrians or some Pakistanians told them
Brother Imam Kareem Muhammad, Abdul Kareem Muhammad is also on the line waiting.
Okay, we're going to cut right short because we have a wonderful Imam of Imam W.D. Muhammad on the line. Brother Imam Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Brother Green?
As-salamu
alaykum. Oh, man, it's a pleasure. There are a lot of people. This is it's a pleasure. I have been on this brother here.
Yeah, I was just, I was just listening
yeah,
to you and enjoying your presentation there. It really was really beautiful and dynamic. And, really
thank you,
was,
Brother Imam. Yeah,
history of this community, yes. So I was just enjoying it. You know, I'm sure that all the listeners, they were appreciating,
I have said, on many Sundays and Wednesdays and Friday nights hearing you in the Nation of Islam teaching the life-giving teaching of the honor of Elijah Muhammad when you was traveling around with Minister James Shabazz and one of his assistant ministers. I've never known you not to be a worker. Ever since I've been knowing you, and that's been over 40 years, you were the dean of the University of Islam, and you have always been a worker. Not only you have an honorable and noble wife. That's Sister is a soldier, Brother Imam, because everywhere you went, she was there working too. She didn't come there and just sit down. She is a worker, and you is a worker. And I thank God for men like you because you're still in the battle. You're still
that's
in the battle, Brother Imam, and you're still doing what I met you doing 40 years ago, and that was standing up in the African-American community trying to what we call wake the dead up. We have to go get the land, and you have been doing that. You have not left your post, and I thank God for you. So, Brother Imam, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk about something that is very, very important that started with the Savior's Day, and then and the Imam made it the convention and the mosque care. So you work very close with the Imam's son. So could you share us your thoughts on what's getting ready to happen by next week this time, Brother Imam?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and to the honorable radio audience and everyone and Imam Alfred and your staff. Thank you really for the opportunity to be able to address the audience on something that's very, very important is coming up. A grand event is coming up. A spectacular event is coming up.
Yes, it is. No doubt about it.
It's always a blessing. It's a blessing when African American and Muslims, when we can come together, you know, as a people. That is truly a blessing, and it really is, because we share a history. We share a history nothing will never separate us there, because the African American people are our people, and we belong to their history. You know, we are part of the history. So don't let anyone ever separate us. But what I want to just say to the audience is that, again, during the Labor Day weekend, August the 31st, please put it on your calendar, please. August the 31st through September the 2nd, a grand and spectacular event will take place, sponsored by the Mosque Cares, the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. We will be sponsoring our 23rd annual Muslim convention, and it's going to be right here in our home state. Imam, you know, right here. Now, it's a blessing. You know, and I want to just speak on that just briefly. So that the Muslim will understand that this is truly a blessing from Allah, we are able to host the Mosque Cares Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad Annual Muslim Convention, the 23rd one. Notice I said the 23rd one, right here in our home state. That's a blessing from us, you know what I mean, from Allah. It really is. But a lot of times we don't see it at that, because we don't count our blessing. We overlook these things. And we think it's small, but this is really something that's really big. And Allah has really favored us, and Allah has really blessed us with this great opportunity to host this convention for the whole country, And we have brothers and sisters that will be coming from far away as Bermuda, that they will be coming to this convention. So this is not no small matter. This is important work that we are doing. And Mubashir, you mentioned, you know, a lot of people are not conscious or not aware of the magnitude of the work that we are doing. I mean, this is a great work that we're doing. I remember Imam Muhammad made this statement. He said, we need to wake up. We need to wake up, man. and realize that Allah, that God, the creator of the heaven and earth, has chosen us and has selected us to do a great work. This is what, you know what I mean? And sometimes maybe this don't even dawn on me like it should. And most of us, it hadn't even dawned on us, because for the most part, no disrespect, a lot of us are still asleep. It's just a shame.
Right,
so
lovely,
many
man.
Of us are still asleep.
Too many.
But it's time now. It's time now for us all to wake up and realize that Allah, that God, the creator of everything that exists, has chosen us to do a great work. He has selected us to do a great work. So we have a great mission. And we take it very serious. And I heard the way you were talking, the way you were presenting this here, and I know that you're real serious about this here. And that's how we have to be real serious. But let me get back, because I want to take a lot of time. But I want to just talk about.
Take as much time you need, brother man. This is a very important convention we're having this year.
It is very important. It's very important, because look, community life is important. We're talking about our future life. Allahu Akbar. I'm gonna say it again. We're talking about our future life. We're talking about a community life. And one thing, too, and I have to keep referencing and quoting what Imam W. D. Muhammad said, who Allah bless with so much insight and so much understanding of the scriptural language of the Quran and the Bible. Allah bless him. And that's why a lot of people don't like our community. Mubashir, you know it. Imam Afra know it better than I do. That's why a lot of people don't like this community. I'm gonna tell it just like it is. They did not produce Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Now that's the bottom line. That's why they don't like him. You know, he wasn't taught over there in the East anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
By no foreigner. So Allah taught him. God himself. I know people find this hard to believe, but Allah, God himself, taught Imam W. Dean Muhammad. It is the truth, and we will stand up and defy anyone who would dispute that. That Imam W. Dean Muhammad was not taught by Allah, God himself, and that's the truth. And I know, I believe that with all my heart and soul and everything. So, but that's why many don't lack him, because they did not produce him. and we are students
right.
of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We thank Allah. We're his students, and we're good students
yes.
of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we thank Allah for that. So he said to us, if we don't establish community life, people are not
yes,
going
sir.
To respect us. So these conventions
right.
is designed, that Imam W.D.
Right.
Muhammad established, that he set up, is designed to bring us into community consciousness and into community life. And believe
yes,
me, and believe me, until we establish ourselves in community life, people not going to respect us. You can talk
right,
all the Quran you want to. You can quote all of the hadith that you want to. You can do all those things. But believe me, the world, no one is going to respect us until we establish community life, establish ourselves in community life. And that's key.
That's
and
right.
that's what the convention is designed to do.
Yes,
so
yes,
during the Labor Day weekend, brothers and sisters, August 31st through September 2nd, out at the Meadowlands Exposition Center, the Mosque Care Ministry, Imam W.D. Muhammad, will be presenting the 2012 Annual Muslim Convention, our 23rd convention. Now, I just want to share this with you. The convention is going to start off with Juma prayer, Allahu Akbar, in the Meadowlands, where all the Muslims come together for the congregation, our Friday prayer. So we invite the whole state of New Jersey, the whole East Coast, the whole Northeast region. We should be there. Like Mubarak was saying, I know you, ma'am, Alfred, one of the co-chairs that's on the convention committee. We've been talking this up. We're trying to get the people inspired, motivated, and excited about our convention, your convention, convention. This is the first time in our history that we have African American head on the African American body.
Right,
because
brother,
in the past, I know people. A lot of times people don't want, like to hear this, but the truth sometimes hurts. But it's the medicine
that we need
to make us get well. We need to have a Muslim head, an African-American head on this African-American body. Because, I don't want to go, everybody know where I'm going with that. Because before we didn't have our own head. We didn't have our own mind. We didn't have our own thinking. But we thank Allah God that now we have our own thinking, our own mind, we have our own perception and everything that Allah God has blessed us with. So I'm proud. I'm very proud to have an African-American head on an African-American body and not another head, not another man head, another man thinking on my body. And I know everybody understands what I'm saying. This is a blessing from Allah, from God. So, brothers and sisters, join us in the Middle Land. Come out in their spirit. And everything, and join us for Juma prayer on Friday, where Muslims from all over the East Coast, all over the Northeast region, going to be converging on the Meadowlands Exposition Center for the Mosque Care Ministry, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his convention that he established for his people and for our life and for our community. Like, brothers and sisters, come out. Don't stay home. Don't stay home. Be a part of history. How are you going to sit home? How are you going to sit home when all of the Muslims, the believers are going to be out there in the Meadowlands and everything, and we're going to be coming together, planning our future life and everything, spiritually, economically, educationally, politically, culturally, in every way that you can think of. We're establishing our life, and that's what we're talking about. This is real, real serious. So we want you to be a part of history. So join us. We welcome you. Invite your family. Invite your relative. Invite your friend. Invite your co-worker. After Juma prayer, Imam Alpha and Mubashir, after Juma prayer, then we're going to go into culture night. You don't want to miss this. I'm serious. You don't want to miss this. Suad Elamine, and you know she's a professional artist.
She has put together a wonderful
culture night. This is going to be one of the best culture night that you ever witnessed. And we're going to enjoy ourselves, and we're going to have a good time, socially, but also being productive and having different programs and events that's going to benefit and uplift our community, that's going to transform. That this convention is going to transform our community.
Yes,
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu
so that's Friday now. Let me just do Saturday and Sunday real quick, Imam Alfred.
Go right ahead, brother, man.
Now, so that's Friday. So now we all excited and fired up and everything. We're going to have workshops. We're going to have different presentations. and we're going to be honoring the pioneers in our community that we love so much, the ones who helped that you've been talking about, Imam Alfa and Mubashir. Y'all been talking about the pioneer. They're the ones who helped lay the foundation, who were the trailblazers and everything. As Imam Muhammad said, they made it so that we could have a place in this world. We shouldn't forget that. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. They're the ones who made the sacrifice so that we could have Juma, so that we can be given Kutbah, so we can have these radio broadcasts. Somebody paid a price. Somebody paid a price so that we could have this liberty, that we can have this freedom that we enjoy. And I'm telling you, those pioneers, they did lay the foundation for us. So they paid the price. They sacrificed and everything with their life and their sweat and their blood. Brothers, we should respect that. And if we don't respect that, Allah is going to punish us. Not that God is punishing us. We are punishing ourselves because we don't respect those who came before us. So, brothers and sisters, inshallah, let us all be a part of this history. Let us come out and let us join with our brothers and sisters from all over the country, from all over the United States of America, and as we said, also from the Caribbean, from Bermuda. Yes, they all coming in from all over and everything to be at our convention. So don't stay at home. Don't sit at home. Bring out your family, relative, friend, your coworker. Invite every, all of them are welcome. Now, let me go through Saturday and Sunday real quickly. On Saturday, we have workshops all day long. We can have some wonderful workshop on business, on economic, on education, on culture, politics, government, and everything. We're going to have a workshop covering every facet, every aspect of community life, community development, and everything. That's what we're about. We're not out there just to have a good time. We're going to socialize. We're going to have a good time, but we out there to take care of business. Let us make that clear.
Right.
That's why Imam Muhammad designed. We're not coming out there to have no party now. We're not coming out to have no party. And you know what, Imam Alfa and Bashir this year, you know, sometimes we are ungrateful. We are very ungrateful.
Yes, brother.
I was telling people that for over 23 years we've had these conventions, and at all the conventions we never had any incident. People come together, socialize, you know, no drinking and smoking and none of this stuff going out there, like we said, partying and all this kind of nonsense and foolishness that a lot of times people get caught up in. No, we come together in a beautiful social environment. We enjoy ourselves. We enjoy our family. We enjoy being with our brother and sister, that social bonding. That's what we come together for. But by the same token, we are there to plan and to organize and coordinate our community life, our future life for our community. So that's real serious. We can't take that life. So all day Saturday there will be various workshops. And then there will be a fashion show on Saturday, a beautiful fashion show. And then on Saturday night will be the awards banquet when some of the outstanding members of our community, men and women, brothers and sisters, will be honored, male and youth, female of the year, and man and woman of the year, those who have made great accomplishment and great achievement. We're going to honor our own people, our own community, our own brothers and sisters for their hard work and their hard labor and their sacrifice. They deserve that. They deserve that. So that will be our awards banquet, and we invite everyone to try to come out there and support that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have a community breakfast, where we're going to come together with some nice jazz music in the morning on Saturday.
I love like that.
Full-course breakfast on Saturday and a full-course breakfast on Sunday, and we want all of you to come out and enjoy yourself and everything. And then Imam Alfa and Mubashir, to finish up on Sunday, we will have more workshops, more events, more programs and everything, the alumni and the Hajj reception and everything, honoring those brothers and sisters who made the fifth pillar, who made the pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca and everything. We're going to honor them and recognize them. Of course, a blessing that they made the journey of the lifetime. So we want to recognize them. And we want to and listen to this here. I can't wait here. But look, you know what? You mentioned something that was very important. It's historic. You mentioned that in our community, we evolved from the Nation of Islam into the community of Muhammad the Prophet, the worldwide Muslim community all over the world. Allah has blessed us to evolve. But we can't forget our history. We cannot forget our history. We will be celebrating this year, and the sister told me that this will be our 81st year of the Clara Muhammad, the Muhammad University of Islam, and the Clara Muhammad School System. 81 years.
Allahu Akbar.
A blessing. So on that Saturday, the alumni of our school system, we will be honoring and recognizing all of the students and teachers and administrators, janitors, and all of them who contributed to our school system. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. So
yes,
we have
it is, brother.
We have a rich history. We have a rich history. Don't let nobody tell us that we don't have a rich history. We have an illustrious history. And that's right, a glorious history. And we also have a bright future. We have a bright future with what we see with brothers and minds like Imam Afra. That brother got a good mind. He got a good mind. I'm not just saying he's blessed by Allah. And Mubashir, you too. You know what I mean? Our future is bright. When I'm hearing you talking everything like this here, we know that our future is bright. We got a bright future.
Yes,
and I'm proud. That's what I'm excited about. I can, you know, sometimes people say, well, look, just kind of slow down. You know what I mean? Tone down. You know, no, we being driven. Allah is driving us. I'm being driven by Allah to do this here. So, you know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. So just, you know, I hope you understand that. That's just the truth. And lastly, we're talking about Sunday. Now we move into Sunday. It's going to be a great weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. Why do we know that? Because Allah is with us. That's how we know that Allah is with us. His angels are with us. And that's not spook. I heard Imam Muhammad say, when you do right, when you try to assist people, when you try to support people, and when you try to do right, don't you know God is with you? He made it so simple and plain. When you work for other people, Allah is with you. But when you be selfish and you don't work for the good of all people, then Allah leave you. His angels leave you. But if you're working for the good of humanity, the good of mankind, the good of all people, when you love your people, then Allah God is with you. And Imam said he will send his angels to help you, to assist you, and to support you. Woo! I'm fired up.
Brother, share with us the importance that we're going to have the President of Moscow, who is Imam Deputy Muhammad II, the son of the Honorable Deputy Muhammad, and your friendship with him and his concern, how important this is to him.
Absolutely. And that's what they were leading right over this here, and I want to just kind of close with that. And I thank y'all for this time. I'm very honored.
Thank you, brother. I'm very humble
for this opportunity. Because you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to call me. You didn't ask me. You didn't have to do this here. You did this out of genuine sincerity of your heart. And I'm grateful. And I want you to know that I appreciate that. And any of you know me, you know that I appreciate it. And it shows a lot of things. And I want people to know this here about your character. Because, like I said, you didn't have to call me. You didn't ask me to come on. You didn't have to invite me. So we want people to understand and know this, to know that what y'all intention is. You must have really loved Allah. You must really love Prophet Muhammad. You love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not ashamed to say it. You love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You love Imam Deputy Muhammad. You love Sister Clara Muhammad. And you love this community. And you love this community. And that's why you let me come on to promote this convention and everything, when there are a lot of people that's holding their hand, they're holding back, hoping that it fail, and hoping that it don't be successful. And I have to just say that. But on Sunday, to conclude that this dynamic weekend that's coming up, and we all excited about it. Yes, all the Muslims, we're excited about it. As we said, it will be a major public address, a major dawah, propagation of al-Islam to the community and to the whole world. So you don't want to miss it. We have a wonderful program lined up. And as Mubashir said, we have to give Wallace Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad II, a lot of credit. You have to do it, whether you like it or not. You got to give him a lot of credit. That brother stepped in some big shoes. He stepped in some big shoes. And
yes,
how many of us could have done that? I'm serious, though. I'm real serious. How many of us could have done that? What that brother have been able to do and keep this community on course, to keep this community on course. He have done a good job as the president, a young brother, young man, and everything.
Yes.
And he was at the White House just last week with our president, Barack Obama. At the White House and everything. And he said something very powerful to Wallace. Is in this Muslim Journal. He said to him, because Wallace told him he named one of his sons after the president. And the president said, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And then he told him that was deep. It was deep. I don't know how many people picked up on it. He said, I know your father very well, knew your father very, very well. But he said, but you also, you have your life and everything. So He was showing him and telling him, though his father, we know he's a great man and everything, but Allah has a role for him to play too. He got a big role, a key role that he's going to play. And I think that's going to light a fire up under him because, you know what I mean, he got his own life. All of us have our own individuality. Allah bless all to have our own individuality. But on Sunday, we'll conclude with the public address. So I've taken up enough time, I think, and I appreciate it.
This is your program because we are WD Muhammad, Imam WD Muhammad.
Yes,
all Imam WD Muhammad. I know if he were here with us physically, he would be promoting the convention. So, brother, it's your time. This is all we're thinking about is convention. And we would like for you, if you possibly.
All roads lead to Meadowlands.
All roads lead to the Meadowlands. And with your permission, we'd like to bring President Wallace Muhammad on our program so he could address us and tell the people how important this is.
Yes, sir.
We want you to come on every day until the convention. It's like, when I was growing up as a Christian, they used to say 7 days to Christmas. So we're saying, 8 days to the convention.
Allahu Akbar. That's beautiful. Like you said, all roads do lead to the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. All praise be to Allah. Imam Afra, Imam Bashir, he's a Bashir, all us imams and everything. The brother did such a phenomenal job. I didn't even holler when he come on. I just wanted to just keep listening to him as he would run down the history. But y'all really are doing a great work. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. May Allah bless you and everything. And again, thank you for the opportunity. And we'll be talking because if you allow me, I do want to do everything I can in my power to try to
get
it out.
Go right ahead, brother, man.
I will be speaking.
I know you. I know your sincerity. I've been knowing you for over 40 years. I've been with you when you have traveled with me, all of us up and down the New York Garden State Parkway behind Minister James Jabbar, going in and out, everyone in this town, Plainfield, Asbury Park, New Brunswick, Patterson, East Orange, all of those little towns. And you were right there with Minister James Tobias, brother. Now, and me and you used to be in FOI class together, drilling. And as a sister minister, you had your Muhammad speak. When we went out, when we dismissed from FOI class, you didn't go home. You had your Muhammad speak with you.
Right.
You had that white H&G with you. Mm-hmm. And you was the principal. You was the dean. You was the head of the university. But you were out on those streets calling your people to the life-giving teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We love you for that, brother Imam.
That's right. We won't forget that history. That's right. We won't forget it. It helped to really shape us and mold us and mentor us to the men. That's the truth. We have to give credit, along with our parents, our good fathers and our good mothers. The Nation of Islam gave us the discipline. I'm not ashamed. I don't care what nobody say. People, they say that during the proto-Islamic experience that we didn't get anything out of Nation of Islam, or there was no value, no worth in Nation of Islam. They don't know what they're talking about. I started to say another word. They don't know what they're talking about and everything. So we learned discipline. We learned how to take responsibility. It was so much that we gained from that. And you are absolutely right, Imam Afrin and Imam Mubashir. That's the truth, and we have to give credit where it's due. So, again, thank you for this honor, and thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Keep up the good work, and I plan to be on tomorrow, inshallah. And I'm going to be talking with Wallace. And I will be talking with Wallace on the conference call Sunday, and I will let them know that he has been invited to come on y'all program. Okay? So may Allah bless you and guide you and protect you always. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Allah continue to bless you. Brother Imam Alfred?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you can hear me. I know you're busy. Thank you, brother. Thank you very kindly.
Continue, as we say, and the FOI, carry on.
Yes, sir. We got about another half an hour, so I just want
you're
to share more. Yes, sir. To share more with what the Imam WD Muhammad was saying, buddy, man. Imam WD Muhammad said, any person like myself. Can you hear me, brother, man?
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well.
Okay,
sir.
The Imam said, any person like myself who would forget
that commitment and not feel something from his father and his labor and forget what he made, forget his father's promise, if they are gone, dead, that kind of person deserves hell fire. He deserves to be put in the lowest bottom of the hill, the lowest pit in the hell. It can't be in the nature of a sincere person or a sincere child. There is no place in the nature of a sincere child to turn his back on that commitment. He said, Emmanuel said, we haven't finished our work. We didn't come to save physical bodies. Physical bodies was already free from slavery. Our commitment, please listen, our commitment was to put the mind of the people in a better state so that they would have a more peaceful and pleasant life and a greater, pleasant, and brighter future. This is what our commitment was. So because you now spend more money than you ever did before, and you have TV and more material things in your life than you ever had before, some of the imam, with their short sight and wrongly focused vision, were thinking we don't have any obligation to be interested in you. All we should be doing is reading the Quran to you, giving a good khutbah to you, and never mentioning you by name, your race, your concerns, your misery, your condition as a people. This is Imam Dada D. Muhammad talking. This is the son of Elijah and Clara Muhammad. This is the one that God raised up to be the leader. Imam said, saying, Brother Imam, this is what they're saying. This Imam was saying, they were telling Imam, Brother Imam, just stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. Imam said, you fool. You don't know the Quran and the Sunnah. You hear me? Now, I'm going to say this again to those scholarly Imam, always trying to, they so much of a scholar. Imam said, they would tell him, asking him, just stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. And Imam said, you fool. You fool. You fool. You don't know the Quran and the Sunnah. Imam said, you hear me? I call him a fool. He is worse than that. He's more pitiful than a fool. He doesn't know the Quran and the Sunnah. Dumb, empty-headed person in a field that he doesn't belong in. He doesn't have the hunger in his soul for the food that God sent down to us from heaven. He's in the wrong work. So how can he register what's important for us in this religion? The Imam Muhammad, the son of Elijah and Clara Muhammad, the leader of the downtrodden poor, the leader of the Bilalian people, the Bilalian Muslims in America, the Bilalian, the name that he gave us for an identity, and we're going to pick that name up pretty soon. I know me, ma'am, Alpha know what it's all about with that name. Imam Bethlehem Muhammad said, I'm following Muhammad the prophet. Peace be upon him. That is who I follow. He didn't leave his people who were a burden on his heart. He stayed right with them and established his mission among them. And he didn't tell them to do dicker and makes a lot, and that is enough. Some friends of a pious man brought the pious man to Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, and said, we thought you should know of this pious man. He makes all his prayer, fasts all the days of Ramadan. He completes all of his duties. Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, said, who takes care of him? Who give him his daily need? They said, we do. This is what the prophet said. He said, then you're better than he is. Huh? Huh? This is the teachings of Imam Wafid Din Muhammad. Dear beloved people, we are not here to promote Arab. We're not here to promote Arab leadership. We're not here to promote Egyptian or Egyptian leadership. We're not here to promote Pakistanian or Pakistanian leadership or Indian leadership, a Chinese leadership, a Japanese leadership, or European leadership. We are here to promote the leadership that God has blessed and put into our hands behind the leadership of Imam Wafid Din Muhammad. We are the descendants of slaves. Our mothers and fathers was captured. They didn't come here with a packed bag. They didn't bring their culture, their identity, their language, their tradition, and their God with them. They didn't come here that way. We're the only people that is not really recognized as immigrants in America. Everyone else have a homeland that they can go back to and really readily identify with their ancestors. We can't do that. We were completely at the wild because God said he's going to make a new people. He's going to make a new people. And it has been Imam W.D. Muhammad that have set aside the what, when, where, and how that happened to our soul, by God blessing them to understand more than any leader the condition of a people that was put down so deep in the well that you know that it was intervention from the God himself, the same God that rescued the Hebrews, the Israelites, out from the bondage of Pharaoh in the leadership of Moses. That's the same God that has delivered us and still delivering us and still lifting us up so the world can see that there is no secret what God would do. What he has done for others, he would do for you. I remember this song that my ancestors used to sing in church when I was a little boy. They said, it's for me, it's for me, it's for me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's for me, it's for me, it's for me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Don't you know that Islamic soul, that was what we call our sunnah. They knew. They said, not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Don't you know that we do that right now when we do our sunnah prayer? You stand alone because you know that God says to us in our holy book that those that neglect to cultivate their soul, Almighty God didn't say they may, might be, maybe, might, need to know. Those who neglect to cultivate their soul will surely, surely be the loser. Huh? That was some of the Islamic spirit that was still ingrained into the soul and the heart of Deacon Jones and Sister Sally. They used to get up on Sunday Sunday and such and shout in the church and call on God. Huh? Do Lord, Lord, remember me. Oh, do Lord, Lord, remember me. Ain't that what God say, do? God said the strongest force in his creation is the remembrance of God. Allah said, if you remember me, I will remember you. Brothers and sisters, we can't forget. We can't forget. We can't forget what God has done for us as a people, especially you people in the nation of Islam. You brother that carried that fish in the rain. Huh? Carried the Muhammad speaks in the rain. You that took your new car and went out into the community and put women and their children, their husbands in the back of your car and brought them down to the temple meeting on Wednesday night and on Friday night, especially on Sunday in the daylight. We came from the darkness to the light behind the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that stood up and told the whole world that we're going to build a nation for ourselves, for ourselves. Don't you know we can't forget this here? So don't come and tell me that I will not remember the honor of that. He didn't bring through Islam. The honor of Elijah Muhammad was more Islamic than any foreign Muslim that I know that was here in the United States. Huh? We go back and study the lessons of the honor of Elijah Muhammad and some of the sayings of the honor of Elijah Muhammad. He was very, very aware of the Quran, but that was not his job. He said, not my job. He said, my job is just to gather the material. Huh? He said, my son, he's the one that's going to build the house. Build the love, brother and sister. These great women that call themselves MGT. I never forget when I was getting on that plane, going to the Chicago, walking through the airport to get to Chicago. And we see all people from all over the world, Caucasian, black, brown, red, yellow people. They would stand back and look at those sisters in their beautiful, long, white garments, looking like angels. They would stand back and give them the floor. They said, they get out the way, and they would bow their heads to them honorable, noble women that call themselves MGT. Huh? They were on their way where? We were on our way to Chicago to see who? To see our leader, Elijah Muhammad. To see our sister Clara Muhammad. To see who? My brother, F.O.I., and my sister, M.G.T. Now, we ain't can't forget that. How can you forget that? How now that you know how to speak a little Arabic? You know a little bit about what Islam is. Huh? Some of you just getting here and calling yourselves Imam. Ain't been in the community hardly no time. But you don't learn to speak what you call Arabic, and now you don't want to remember? You don't want to remember who the one was that calls you to see and understand who Muhammad the prophet is? and what he was all about, the one who is playing the role of Jesus Christ, the one who is playing the role of Moses, the one who is playing the role of Abraham, and the one who's played the role of our father, Adam. It was Imam Wazadi Muhammad that God blessed to do this here. Imam ain't never told us to put down our identity. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad tried to give us identity. He called us the Shabbat tribe of Shabbat, and we had all of our businesses. But he told us that, oh, we're going to lose all of this. That's what the Imam told us. I remember that. We're going to lose all of this, but we'll give it back. And the Imam said, he didn't say it won't be that was going to happen in his lifetime. And when Imam W.D. Muhammad came into office, how many of you brothers that hear me? Did your brother move out here, Oxtar? Squad leader, move out. Squad leader, John Tenick, John 58. Lieutenant, John 58. And John Tenick, and John X, and Minister John X. I'm the same person. I'm a soldier. I don't know nothing else. How many of you, brothers, that was with us when we went out in Jersey, all through those towns, when we went down to Philadelphia when we had a bazaar? Matter of fact, I think they get ready to have a three-day bazaar in an Ali Muslim masjid in the community right this weekend. I think it started today. It's going to be tomorrow and Sunday. You know what the bazaars were? The bazaars were somewhat like a convention. All the merchants came out and sold their merchandise. And when the main speaker get ready to come on, that was Minister James or whoever he sent to represent it. Even Farrakhan would come on sometime, come over and visit us. Everything would stop, and we would listen to the message, the life-giving teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming from the minister. This is what the convention is all about, too. So we can't forget these things. God says, who will deny the favor, those precious and favor, good favors of your Lord? Who will deny that? We don't want to be a people to go down in history being the one that denied the goodness that God had given us through the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as Muslim and Imam W.D. Muhammad. No, don't listen to these people that are coming from outside of our community, coming from different parts of the world. They don't know nothing about the religion. Imam said that. Imam said when he first came into office, he went over in some of those countries, and they was born, their children born from Muslim families. Generally, most of them didn't even know how to say El Fatiha. But now you have these people, some of them is not even welcome back in their hometown. They went up with thieves and robbers and murderers over there in some of them countries. Now you call them, because they can speak the Arab, you bow down to them, call them your sheikhs, your ulama. You African black man, you Negro, you color man, you black man, huh? You become Muslim, and you put on the clothes of those people. You may call them nightgowns. He said, them clothes that they wear over here, that's where they go to bed in. Some things you call jellybeans. That's their nightgowns. That's their night clothes over there in them countries. And you walking around here in the wintertime with sandals on, snowing, 20 below zero, and you got garments on that they wear in the hot desert sun and calling yourself a scholar in the religion of Al-Islam because you can speak a little Arabic. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. And the Imam said, we have been punished. We have been punished. And what did God say? Never will he change the condition of a people or a person or a nation or a country until they change what is in their heart. What is in your heart, African-American man, African-American woman? What is in your heart, ex-slave, that belonged to a people that was put down and shut out? What is in your heart? The love of Jesus? That's all right, too. You really understand what Jesus represents, because Jesus said, I and you and me. Meaning what? We got the same human nature. Jesus Christ said, I'm a human. Call no one Father except your Father who is in heaven. Huh? He made a prayer, our Father. He didn't tell you to pray to him. There's no prophet on this earth that we can go into scripture and find out what they told the people that God sent to them to raise up to pray to them. No, it was the enemy of God and the people. And God said, your open enemy is the Shaitan himself. He don't hide his hate for you. He come at you openly. But it's the ignorance and the lack of self-identity, this lack of being comfortable with your identity will make you a self over yourself. It makes you self an Egyptian over yourself. to make yourself an Iranian over yourself, to make yourself a Palestinian over yourself. Huh? You got to be sick, brothers and sisters. What about yourself? What about your people? We are people. We are trying. I tell you, I come from the tribe they call niggers and coons and baboons and all of that. That's what they picked at Jesus Christ, who was from Nazareth. They asked the question, is there any good that can come out of Nazareth? But look what Jesus Christ did. He came out of Nazareth, and the whole world know about Jesus' day because he was a righteous, obedient servant of God. Never did he tell anybody that he was a Christian. Never did he tell anybody that he was the Son of God. He said he was a worker. He was a servant of God, and he'd do nothing except what God order him and allow him to do. That's the Jesus that we follow, not the Jesus that this world give you. So, dear beloved people, God, Almighty God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, was not born in Africa. God is the creator of the people that call themselves African. Almighty God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, was not born in Asia. He's the creator of the people that call themselves Asiatic people. Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between, was not born in Europe. He's the one that created the people that call themselves Europeans. Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between, was not born in Jerusalem, Bethlehem. He's the one that created the people that call themselves Jews and Iranians. Almighty God was not born on the West Indian Islands. He is the creator of the people that call themselves West Indians. Almighty God, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was not born in South America, Latin America, in Spain, none of those Latin countries. He's the one that created the people that identify with that country. And Almighty God, Allah, the creator of heaven and the earth and everything in between, was not born in the United States of America. He's the creator of the people that call themselves American. One God, one humanity, one human family. One human family, one humanity, one God, one creator. Huh? That's how we should look at this here, brothers and sisters. We are all the children of Adam. God has no mother, no father, no sister, no brother. God don't have any children. No prophet is the son of God. They can only come to the creator as his servant. And that's the only way you and I can come to God. We can only come to God as his obedient, faithful, willing servant. We cannot come to God as a partner. He has no partner. He has no associate. There is none like unto him. We need God. God don't need none of us. The creator needs nothing from his creation. His creation needs everything from him. Huh? He is the Lord and creator of all system of knowledge. In the proper name in our holy book that we refer to God is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, highly praised and glorified is he. So, dear beloved people, we hope and pray that Almighty God bless the President of the United States, President Obama, who have a hard job here in this country, a country that has been made to believe that no good can come from a black man. But we bear witness that God has raised one up, a smart black man, too, President Obama. President Obama didn't make this mess in America. They had 43 white men before he became the President of the United States. He was the 44th, and he was a black man in the White House. You know, that star that fell from heaven, it was white, and then it turned black. But the man said the White House had got leprosy. Racism is leprosy on white America. And those 43 white presidents, most of them, they're the one that caused the trouble in the house they call the White House. It caused it to become leprosy. So God had to take them back to their original self. So he dropped down into that White House, huh? That fallen symbol of the original soul of black man, in the image of Barack Obama, Hussein Obama. That little black man is in the White House, and with his moral courage and with his moral understanding and with his obedience to God, because he's a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, God going to purify the White House and bring that White House and bring that Caucasian artificial mentality back to its original nature through the leadership of President Obama and all right-minded Christians, all right-minded Jews, and all right-minded Muslims that support his leadership as being the president of the greatest nation on the face of the planet Earth, the United States of America. The old USA, turn around, ASU, meaning Allah's favor. Everybody is coming to America for salvation. Why? Because they know there's something that happened in America. There's a new man on the scene. There's a new mind that God has brought forth in America. And that mind is the mind of Imam Walter D. Muhammad, because it has been Imam Walter D. Muhammad that has given the Western world a brand new mind. It has been the mind of Imam Walter D. Muhammad that has been blessed by God to see into Scripture and help his brother when they was in the wrong. He helped the Jews to see and understand the correct way that God said that they should be functioning in the religion they claim to be as their religion. Imam W.D. Muhammad has blessed Christians that call themselves the follower of Christ to see and understand better the role of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was all about, and that Jesus Christ was only a righteous servant of God. Never was he the Son of God. Never did he disobey God and tell the people to worship him and to bow down to him. No, he said, I'm going in the Garden of Gethsemane. I need to pray. And he got on his knee to put his forehead to the ground. Now, he ain't no crazy man. Who was he praying to? I tell the Christians when I be out on the street, I don't know no Christian that loves Jesus Christ more than Mubashir Akbar. Oh, brother, how can you say that? You call yourself a Muslim. Jesus Christ is a Christian. Well, that's what you say. And I tell you that I don't know no Christian that loves Jesus Christ more than me. Why? Because I love Jesus Christ enough. We Muslims that understand Jesus Christ, the Muslim followers of Imam Walter D. Muhammad, we love Jesus Christ so much that we refuse to tell a lie on him. And the lie is that he's the Son of God. Now, we ain't going to lie on Jesus like that because he never said that. No, so that's how much we love Jesus. We love him enough not to lie on it. Do you Christian brothers and sisters love him enough like that? We do. We love Muhammad like that. We love Abraham like that. We love Moses like that. We love all the prophets like that, that we're not going to tell any falsehood on them. We're going to only tell the truth. And God said none of these great men that he put on this earth as an example, as a way back to God, to tell the world that they're the Son of God or they're equal to God, that we can't get to heaven unless we be bathed in their blood. No, no, no. We are believing Muslims, martyrs from the Muslims, come to come and turn, huh? And let's not raise up lords from among ourselves. That's what Imam W.D. Muhammad says to us in the message of concern. And we are concerned because we are our brother keeper. And we love you, brothers and sisters, and we want for our brothers and we want for our sisters that which we want for ourselves. And what is that? Freedom, justice, and equality established by Almighty God through righteous men and women that came before and that will come after us. We ask God to forgive us our faults and our sins. Have mercy on us, O Allah. We have been greatly unjust to ourselves, and we confess our faults. So grant us protection against all our faults, but none can grant protection against faults without. And guide us into the best of morals, but none can guide into the best of morals without. And turn away from us the evil and indecent morals, but none can turn away from us the evil and indecent morals but them.
Brother Imam? Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Yes.
Oh, I thought it went well, man. I didn't, you know, I had nothing to say, man. See, I'm one of them kind of guys, man. I'm like the man. Yeah, I'm done with it. Imam, man, when he give you an assignment, he let you do it, man. I don't, you know. Sure he did. We're going to make an ally.